Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Survivor Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and as always, I'm here to talk some reality TV with you on robisawebsite.com. Today, I'm joined with somebody who is loved by America. He is a rat floater, and he is one of my favorite people. I really do love him. I would say that this guy was almost loved by America even more so than I was loved by Canada, which I didn't think was possible. Yeah. But here he is. He's a great man. He's my good pal. It's the great Andy Heron, ladies and gentlemen. Andy, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me, Jordan. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries, Andy. Thank you for coming on. I really do appreciate it. I don't think that I am worthy to be speaking to such a well-loved individual from the United States of America. So thank you so much for spending some time with me today.
For gracing you with my presence. Yeah, you're welcome. For sure.
No, but thank you, Andy. I really do appreciate it. Guys, thank you for tuning in. We're going to be talking some Survivor Cambodia today. So if you want to tweet us some questions, you can do so by using the hashtag RHAP. And make sure to also subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to us on YouTube. So reality TV Rehapups on YouTube and via iTunes, robiswebsite.com/Rehapups. And we're going to get into this today because really quickly here, because Andy does not have a lot of time. So we're going to talk about as much about Survivor Cambodia as we can, and hopefully about 30 minutes or so, and we will go from there. Okay, Andy, let's not bury the lead then. Let's talk about this episode. Let's jump right into it.
Okay.
Monica Padilla was the victim of a hashtag blindside.
Yeah. She was, and her blindside faces were fantastic. Like she gave some good face after it happened, and I was into it.
Yeah, like, they were really good. Yeah, get into that, Andy.
I'll just like say something. I feel like I wasn't that mad about the Monica blindside because, like, this is going to sound harsh, but like, did Monica even deserve to be there? Like, I feel like I have watched every episode of Survivor that has ever aired, and I like had trouble remembering Monica. Like, she was the only person on this entire cast that I feel like that for. And, like, she seems like a lovely, nice, like, well-adjusted person. But when it came to Survivor, like, I was not that sad to see her go in favor of, like, bigger personalities sticking around. You know, and this is coming from someone who was super boring on his season of a reality TV show. But, like, I don't know. I was not that sad to see Monica go.
See, I was sad, Andy, because I picked Monica to win the game. Oh, I thought that, yes, I did. And here's my thinking was because here's this person that, you know, we see on these All-Star seasons, Andy, right? Survivor All-Stars, Amber wins the game. Survivor Heroes and Villains, Sandra wins the game.
Whoa. Sandra, I think, is the best. So,
but she's a female player. She's not as people don't view her as a huge threat coming into the season.
Yeah.
Monica's under the radar, and Monica's pretty smart. She's got some good ideas about the game. Yeah. So that's where my mindset was at. Now, what do you think went wrong with Monica's game here, Andy? What's your take on the whole game?
Honestly, I think that Kimmy went wrong for Monica's game. Like, I feel like Kimmy, of course I was not there, so I don't know what happened, but it just seemed to me like Kimmy had like a vendetta against Monica and just did not like Monica. And I feel like Kimmy was looking for any excuse to get Monica out. Like, I don't feel like Monica's like, the girls should stay together. Like, it was almost like a flippant thing that she said. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that big of a deal, I feel like. And the fact that Kimmy kind of took it and ran with it, I mean, it worked, you know? Although I was reading something, I believe Stephen Fishback was saying that Monica came to him and like alluded that she wanted to get rid of Jeremy. So maybe Monica was kind of flipping and flopping all over the place. But from the edited version that we saw, I feel like Kimmy had like kind of a personal thing against Monica and wanted her out, you know? And I think it is so ironic that Kimmy was voted out fifth her season for like wanting to preserve the protein, and Kimmy voted out Monica for wanting to preserve the protein. Like, which is fantastic. Like, you like can't write that. That is so amazing of like a story arc for someone, you know?
It totally is. And it's crazy that these things happen on reality TV sometimes, Andy, and they just, it just, I don't know. It's, I don't know if it's fate, whatever it is, but they just seem to turn out that way.
I was genuinely impressed with Kimmy too, because as like a big Kimmy fan, like I was hardcore wanting her to come back just because like, I feel like those first couple seasons of Survivor are so totally iconic. And so I really wanted Varner back. I really wanted Kimmy back. And I feel like it's just been like such a disappointment and is just like non-existent and not doing anything. And I feel like Kimmy is someone who I feel like is one of those original players that a lot of people kind of slighted. Like before the season started, people were like, oh, Kimmy's gonna be annoying, she'll get rid of her right away. And I thought it was like so impressive that she took initiative and was like dominating that alliance that like on Wednesday's episode.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get into that a little bit, Andy, because we hadn't seen Kimmy be strategic at any point ever in her Survivor career. So so now that we've seen Kimmy go out there, she had a plan, she executed it, put it into motion, and it worked. So I'm very impressed. I didn't think Kimmy had that in her. So what do you think is next for Kimmy Kappenberg in this game?
I mean, I kind of hope that Kimmy and Jason and Jeremy and Steven stick together because I like the three of them a lot. And so I think she's going to last for a while. I do worry that like she's a little bit too big of a personality for some people. And I think that she's got a bit like she's got trouble biting her tongue. And so I think that could like come back to hurt her. Although she like bit it pretty well on Wednesday's episode. And I feel like even during Tribal, like me and my friends were like, oh, she's going to blow it. Like she's going to say something and it's going to give it away to Monica. And like, she didn't. Like her poker face was really good at Tribal too. And so yet again, like very impressed with my girl, Kimmy Kappenberg this week on Survivor.
Kimmy Kappenberg. I didn't think I would ever hear those words. Anyone saying I'm very impressed with Kimmy Kappenberg, but yeah. I was too, Andy. I think that she did a great job.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where she's going to go in the game because I think she's in a really good spot right now. Is she not? I mean, she's got Jeremy and Steven. I think that those are good.
I mean, and the thing is like, she legitimately outplayed Monica, you know, and Monica is a smart, like I think Monica is a sharp, smart person. And so the fact that she got outplayed by Kimmy is pretty impressive.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And especially I think because the, you know, there's the difference in the seasons. It's been so long since Kimmy played. It hasn't been that long since Monica's played. So absolutely with Kimmy Kappenberg there. Do you think that they made the right, they took the right approach here, Andy, with, you know, getting rid of Monica in this spot? Or do you think that they should have gone after Kelly Williams and Spencer?
As Steven was saying, it all depends on if they do like a switch or like, you know, or a merge. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's what it all comes down to. And so I can't give an accurate answer to that because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I feel like for the time being, I don't think it was a terrible decision. I think that Steven and Jeremy are pretty smart guys. And I think that like they knew what they were doing. And so, I mean, we'll see, but
yeah, it's, I guess it's one of those things that at the end of the season, we could say hindsight is 20/20 and we might be like, oh, what are they doing? They had a shot at Spencer. Why not take him out? But
yeah,
until we see what happens, we're not going to really know. It's just
totally,
one of those things.
Totally.
And random question for you, Andy, as well. To me, Kelly Wigglesworth really sounds like your friend, Alyssa Riley Slater. Does that fly with you? Do you notice that?
I do not disagree with that. I can totally see that. Yeah.
Yeah. So is it possible that Kelly Wigglesworth is actually Alyssa Riley playing Survivor?
You know, man, like my head just explodes. I feel like the funny thing is there are a lot of similarities between the two. They've got like a huge fan base going in. Like everyone kind of knows who they are. They're non-existent for a lot of the show because like they're not really doing much. You know, like,
yeah. So I just thought that was really interesting. And I wanted to get your perspective on that because, yeah, I was trying to, because when I saw her come back and I haven't watched Survivor 1 since it aired, actually I rewatched a little bit here and there, but I had really, for the most part, haven't really seen Survivor 1 too much.
Yeah.
And I Kelly Wigglesworth, I didn't think of her like that. But then when I saw her on my TV screen again, I thought, she really reminds me of someone. And then boom, last week it clicked and I was like, oh my gosh, this is Alyssa. The yoga thing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So someone like that in the game, Andy, do you think it's wise to keep someone like that around or do you think we should get rid of them? Because Kelly is, because can you really tell what she's going to like? No, we don't know what she's going to do.
That's exactly correct. I feel like I really liked having Alyssa in the house for the first like month or so because Alyssa liked me. You know, and I feel like I was in Alyssa's good graces. And so with that, like, it was great having her around. But then I feel like towards the middle of the game, when Alyssa started to doubt me, Alyssa was so unpredictable and you like never knew what she was going to do or what she was thinking. And so I feel like I had everyone else kind of wrapped around my finger where like I knew what they were thinking and what they were going to do. And I didn't know what Alyssa was going to do. And it drove me nuts, like that I couldn't like predict her. And so I feel like someone like that is, I mean, they're good at the early stages of the game if they like you and they're like an easy number for you. But then, like I said, once it gets down to the like slim pickings, if you can't really predict what they're going to do, you need to get rid of them.
Yeah, so it's a really tough situation, and I'm excited. Again, a lot of people, I'm very excited to see what happens come the merge, but I think that Wigglesworth in particular will be one to watch, just because the Takeo group kind of fractured, then she's off on her own, or she's by herself over on Bion.
I don't know if you read, do you ever follow Dalton Ross? He writes for Entertainment Weekly.
Yes, yeah, I didn't read stuff yet this week.
He wrote a really interesting critique of Kelly Wigglesworth, which I think is like spot on, and he was even saying like, she's like a self-aware person. So like, he was like, I think that she would totally agree with what I'm saying, but he was like, she has been such a disappointment to producers that like, they didn't even give her a confessional in Wednesday's episode. And she was like on the block to be voted out essentially. And like, they did not cut to her once having a confessional because like, they can't get anything out of her apparently, you know, which is like crazy.
Well, yeah. Well, and that's something that I wanted to ask you, Andy, do you think that was just the producers not showing Kelly Wigglesworth fighting to stay in the game? Or do you literally think that Kelly Wigglesworth just went out on the beach, stood there and didn't really do anything?
I kind of think she like went and did yoga on the beach and didn't campaign for herself, you know?
Like, that's just mind boggling. It's nuts.
It is. Yeah.
But it's funny because I wasn't home, but were you home? Did you hear the Rob has a podcast in the Second Chance interviews before these guys went out there? Because I don't know if you did, but if Kelly Wigglesworth and hers, the entire time in her interview, she just said, yeah, like, I don't want to really have an alliance. I think I can win without it. I haven't paid attention to the game too much. I don't have internet really close to my house, like all this stuff. And I thought, that's just her. That's just her trying to throw people off the scent. She's like pre-gaming and, you know, people.
I think the gamer in you is giving her way too much credit.
Yeah, it totally was. Yeah. I was just thinking, oh, wow, she's look at Wigglesworth. No one's going to be suspecting her at all. But in reality, that's what she's doing. And I'm amazed. I think, but I could easily see her being in the final two or final three. And hey, maybe if it's a bitter jury, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could see her sticking around for a while. Although so far I have not been great on my predictions. Like, I feel like 3 weeks ago I was like, Jeff Varner's going to win this thing. And then whoops. And then like, even at the beginning of last week's episode, I was like, I think Monica's going to last. And then I was like, oh shit. Okay. Like,
yeah, I had one guy. Yeah, I had one guy rip me on Twitter too, because he's like, JP, you're literally wrong every single prediction you have. And I was like, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I had Monica winning the game. I thought after last week, we got to see her talking about Spencer. I thought, ooh, okay, this is good. We're seeing some strategy. But really, it was just setting up her downfall for her to get voted out. So that's too bad. Monica Padilla, I love you very much, but unfortunately, just didn't work out for you. Okay, Andy, let's talk about, let's jump over to the greatest tribe in Survivor history since the Brains tribe in Survivor Kageyan, and that is the Angkor tribe.
Yeah.
They miraculously did not have to go to tribal council.
The Angkor tribe plus Stephen Fishback.
Plus Stephen Fishback. Thank you. Shout out to Stephen Fishback for helping the Angkor live to see another day. But we've seen a lot. We've seen a lot from Tasha so far this season, Andy. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Tasha Fox's game so far this season?
I think she's been playing well. I think that clip of Abby being like, woo, like, woo just wants attention, like, blah, blah, blah. And like, Tasha being like, yeah, and like agreeing with her. Like, I feel like Tasha's eyes were like just struggling so hard not to roll all the way back into her skull. Which was like super impressive that she like placated Abby like that, you know?
Oh, well, Andy, hold on though. She said that she had a tendon transplant. Okay. That's just as important as a heart transplant.
No, I'm being insensitive. Yeah, definitely. But no, like I like Tasha. I don't love, like, I just don't love Tasha. I don't know what it is about her. I just like, she's not one of my favorites, but I will fully give credit where credit is due. I think that she is playing well. Like, I don't really like Andrew Savage is actually my least favorite of everyone in the cast. And so I think I might not like Tasha by proxy because I don't like Andrew Savage. So,
why do you not like Andrew, Andy? Can you just not relate to the fact that he's a millionaire and has a beautiful model wife and makes lots of money?
Well, like, I think that he's like so self-righteous. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just like he like tells these stories and he expects everyone to just think that the greatest thing that they've ever heard. And just like the way that he carries himself, I just feel like he doesn't like, I really like people that don't take themselves seriously. And I think Andrew Savage takes himself gravely seriously. And so it is just something that I don't really like, or like, I just don't identify with him, you know? And so, he is someone that I am not rooting for whatsoever. I would say I'm rooting against Andrew Savage.
I think a lot of people probably agree with you on that one. I think really, Andy, like you said, I think it's the seriousness thing. I think that anybody who's just like, oh, this is a game. And
that was my problem with Vanessa on this last season of Big Brother. I was like, she has no sense of humor. Like, she took everything so seriously. And it was like hard for me to watch, you know? And I mean, I've since talked to her and she seems like a lovely, wonderful person. But in the Big Brother house, she like did not have a sense of humor and it drove me crazy.
Yeah. And I it's just not fun to watch, I think, on TV. And I think that some of these people, I mean, yes, Big Brother and Survivor, it's their real life. But at the same time, it's a TV show. It's a game. Yeah. I mean, this isn't life or death here. We're all, you know, this is just it's a silly TV show that we like to watch and have fun with. Enjoy yourself.
Like, there was one day where I was like strategizing in the storage room with Spencer and Judd and they were wearing chicken costumes. And like, it like hit me. Like I like a ton of bricks. Like I was just like, I am on a TV show. Like I was like, I am whispering with two grown ass men in chicken outfits, like for $500,000. Like this is absolutely absurd. Like what is happening to me right now? And so I feel like, yeah, the people that take it way too seriously are never my favorites to watch. But I feel like people like Andrew Savage. Like I feel like,
I don't know. I think, you know, just from what I've seen of online and just on Twitter and those sorts of things, I don't know if he's got the most fans, but I think like the average person that's watching Survivor, I agree. I think that they do like Andrew Savage. Like
The players that the average person always likes are never the people. Like, I never liked Ozzy. I don't give a, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give a shit about, like I'm trying to think of like other big fan favorites. Like, cause I do like Boston Rob. I like Parvati.
Rupert Andy.
Oh, no. Ew. No. And so, yeah, get Rupert away from me. I'm not into it.
How dare you talk padly about Rupert Boneham, Andy?
Get it?
Rupert, who voted for me?
Yeah, shut up. Like, I'm over it.
Hey, Andy, he said he's the greatest survivor of all time, okay? Cut him some slack. He's
okay, I'm sorry, and like I know I'm going to get flack for this. Sandra Diaz-Twine is the greatest survivor player of all time. She has played twice, and she has won twice. I don't care if people say she lucked into it. Her record is literally 100% winner. And so, like, Boston Rob, it took him four times. Parvati, it took her two times. Cochran, it took him two times. None of them as good of players as Sandra Diaz-Twine, who has won twice. Sorry.
And we could get into a whole debate about that in another podcast,
but we'll save that for another day.
I have to disagree with you, Andy, but I mean, it's a valid argument. She played twice, won twice.
The statistics are in Sandra Diaz-Twine's favor.
I think for me with Sandra, I think if we were to let Sandra play 100 times in 100 random seasons, I don't think she wins 100 times.
Yeah.
I think that's how I look at it. At least.
Yeah. But I also will say that I think Kim Spradlin is maybe the best survivor player of all time.
That's something that I can get behind with you on. Yeah. That's not necessarily my belief, but I would agree with that more so because I mean, Kim Spradlin is amazing. I mean, you could argue she played a perfect game.
I mean, she ruined her season. Like, she made the season so boring because she was so good. Like, she totally did. She was phenomenal.
Like, she really was. Kim's great. But let's talk about somebody who is the complete opposite of that. Someone who is so entertaining. They're not boring ever. Abby Maria Gomez. Yeah, we talked about her a little bit earlier. the woman that famously had tendon surgery and lived. Andy, how would you suggest that these players deal with someone like Abby Maria? Because
get rid of her. Like, she is such a flip flopper. Like, you never know what she's going to do. If you look at her, like, she's like the type of person where if you look at her funny, she's going to vote your ass out. And like, that is a really dangerous person to have, because if someone else, like, I mean, no, it has already happened. Tasha and Savage saw this and they preyed upon this. And like, Abby is so like vulnerable and easy to manipulate that like they were able to do it. And so I feel like she's someone where if you keep her around for a number, it could come back and bite you in the ass, because she can jump ship and then become a number against you.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Do you think that, and for me, I constantly keep going back to that first tribal council when it was between Vetus and Abby Maria, and they decided, okay, well, we want to keep the numbers. We're going to keep Abby Maria. We're going to vote out Vetus. And I don't know if, I mean, yeah, Vetus would have been on the other side, but I just think that for tribe cohesion, I don't know if that's the move, because maybe Jeff Varner jumps back over them. Who knows? What do you think about that? Do you think that maybe they should have kept Vetus around and they could just got rid of Abby Maria right off the bat and just eliminate all those variables?
Yeah, like I'm cool with that. I feel like I think I don't really know how Vetus was. I mean, Vetus, we only saw him for one episode, so I guess like I was, but he definitely, I don't think would have been as unpredictable as Abby.
But and yeah, because so, like that's the thing, right? Vetus is a very good player, but I think that if you're a player out there like a Spencer or a Shireen or something like that, you can predict what Vetus is going to do, at least somewhat. Abby, you can't, because you can't relate. Their minds don't think the same. I don't think our minds think the same as Abby Maria's either. We don't know what's going on in her head, right? So I almost think that, yeah, he's a bigger threat, but at least the devil, I mean, it's almost the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Yeah. But I feel like Abby Maria is like a middle of the game boot. Like, I really do. I don't think she's going to last that long. I think that people will keep her for a number, but I think like people will start to realize how unpredictable she is and then they'll get rid of her. Like, I would liken her to like a Jesse Kowalski from my season of Big Brother, who like didn't really, because I feel like she was someone who like, yet again, if you looked at her funny, she would like want to get rid of you. And like, I got rid of her in my HOH week because I was like, that's dangerous. Like, that is someone, if Jesse Kowalski wins power, like, what the hell is she going to do? You know?
Killer Kowalski.
And I think that Killer Kowalski is much more like level headed and down to, I will give Killer Kowalski credit. I don't think she's as like hot headed and like unreasonable as Abby Maria, but I think that she was like kind of a similar like person in the game where like she didn't really have a set. I mean, Abby Maria, I guess, has her set alliances, but she jumps ship all the time. And Jesse was kind of like that too. She was like a lone wolf who, yet again, like, it made me nervous to think about what she would do if she had any power. And I mean, like, Abby has now had power a couple times and has been so weird and unpredictable. And so,
yeah, I would say that they're almost very similar, Andy, in that, you know, like you said, I think outside the game, I think Jesse Kowalski and Abby Maria are great people. But for whatever reason, when Jesse gets in that house, when Abby gets out on that island, just some switch goes off and then I don't know what's going on.
I remember when I was HOH that week, Jesse came to me and she was like, I want to get rid of Amanda. And then like later on that day, like seriously, like that same day, she was like, Helen like looked at me funny earlier. I want to get rid of her. And I was just like, oh, okay, this is a problem.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Let's jump into, the Takeo tribe quickly here, Andy. Let's hit them first or lastly of all those three tribes. So we saw this week, the five of the six of them got together and Terry was off doing something, maybe saying Rochacho or various other things that he's doing. And, the five of them, so it was Keith, Sierra, Kelly Wentworth, Joe, and Cass. They agree. They say, hey, guys, like once it comes to the merge, we're going to work together. Let's do this thing. What do you think is ultimately going to happen to this group of five, Andy?
I mean, I like this group of five. I would be kind of into this group of five sticking together just because I love those three women. Like, I like Kelly Wentworth, and I like Cass, and I like Sierra. I think Joe is cool. I'm fine with Joe. I don't think I like Joe as much as everyone else does, and I actually genuinely don't think that Keith deserved a second chance. I think that Keith is super likable. Like, don't get me wrong, Keith seems like a wonderful stand-up guy. Keith did not know what the hell was going on when he first played. He didn't do anything strategic. I feel like he solely got back because of his personality, you know? Like, when it comes to like gameplay, he did not deserve to come back. But I do like the fact that like they showed him being like, oh, like now I'm like actually working with people. And but it's like, I like that, and it also frustrated me because I was like, there are so many people that like would actually be like proactive, and you know what I'm saying? Cause it sounded like he just like fell into this alliance and he was like, oh, okay, like people want to work with me, which then that frustrates me. So I guess what I'm saying is I would like this group to stick together, but if they have to cut people, I would like the three women to stick together and for them to get rid of like a Joe or a Keith first.
Yeah, and we saw Joe say that too this week, where he said, yeah, like last time I wasn't ready for the merge. They came after me right away. This time I think I'm okay. I don't know if Joey Amazin's going to be okay, just because that guy is such, he's, Andy, is there not a more perfect human being on this planet than Joe Anklam? I really don't know.
I'm telling you, like, I think that I just have odd taste in guys because I find Stephen Fishback so much sexier than I find Joe. Like, I would go on a date with Stephen Fishback 10 times over going on a date with Joe.
Whoa,
like,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, Andy.
I have a huge crush on Stephen Fishback. I think he's such a cutie. And I think that Joe is like fine, but I'm not that into it.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, yeah, Joe's just fine.
But yeah,
that's great. No, Stephen Fishback's awesome. I think we all, everyone,
that's just Stephen Fishback.
Yeah. I think anybody listening to this or watching this, I think they're all, we're all on the same page. We all love Stephen Fishback.
I think when it comes to this cast, Stephen Fishback is my number one. And like, I know that Spencer is going to kill me for saying this, but I am so into Cass this season. Like, I love, love, love her arc. I think that she is doing such a good job.
I think Cass is doing amazing, Andy. She's really turned things around.
Yeah.
And I think come merch time, she's in a great spot because, right, she's got this group of five. And then what do you think about all the Kageyan people potentially working together again? So because right now
I think that Tasha is butthurt again. I don't think Tasha would want to work with Cass. I don't think Spencer would want to work with Cass either. But the thing is, I think Cass might have the numbers over like Spencer or Tasha. And like, because I love Spencer. Like, of course I want Spencer to do well. He's like I know him in real life. But man, I would love Tasha to go out at the hands of Cass. Like, I would love that so much. But
That would be a crazy boot episode if Tasha goes home at the hands of Cass. My goodness, Kageyan people turning on each other. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But I think that in that sense, you're right that one of them is going to have to go after and take the other one out because right now you could argue that. I mean, for me, I don't know about how you would rank them, but I think that Kelly Wentworth is probably in the best position in the game right now for me.
Yeah.
But I think that two and three, I think, are probably Tasha and Cass. And I think that as soon as one of those two gets rid of the other, I think their chances of winning goes up exponentially. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I would love for a woman to win this season. I feel like, especially after Jeff Probst was like, half these women don't stand a chance. Like, I would love it if a woman won. Love it.
Yeah, can you believe that, Jeff Probst before the season?
It was gross. I did not like it.
I love Jeff Probst to death. Yeah. He's probably my favorite host on television. Next to Arissa Cox. But I do think that Jeff Probst, I don't know why Jeff does that. Like, dude, how do you not see what you're doing, man? Like, here's six people that can't win. Oh, all of them are women. There's no guys. Every single guy has a chance. Like, you're telling me,
Keith is going to win? No way.
You think Wu has a better chance than six people? Come on, man. Like, I need to look at that list again because I think that there are some people I think Cass was probably on that list. And he was way off on that. Mind you, Cass is playing a completely different game, but
I think Sierra is in a good spot too. And I think the fact that they haven't shown her at all is probably a testament to the fact that she's going to be there for a while.
Yeah. Let's talk about that quickly too, before we get into, before you have to get out of here, before we can take a couple questions, Sierra, Andy, we've really barely heard from her, and she's somebody that we really saw a lot on Survivor Blood versus Water. She was arguably the most prominent character next to Tyson Apostle, who won that season. What's the narrative? Let's say hypothetically in the next few weeks that the edit picks up for Sierra. What's the narrative that we can see as viewers in which Sierra's walking away at the end of the season with $1 million? What is she going to have to do to win this game?
I don't know. I mean, just make the right decisions and align with the right people, essentially, and like not piss people off, you know? Because I think Sierra, it seems like Sierra is pretty well liked by everybody. And so if Sierra can stick with the numbers and win when she has to, then, I mean, I think she would be a worthy winner.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think she's got it in her. I really want to see it. I'm just waiting for it to come out. And I think maybe the issue is with these all-star seasons. I think it's 20 people. And a lot of these people were the biggest personalities on their own season. Yeah. So when you jam them all together, somebody's not going to get it.
I really, really, really hope she doesn't get Courtney Yates. I think Courtney Yates is one of the most entertaining people in the history of Survivor, and she was a non-entity on Heroes versus Villains. Like, it was insane.
It totally was. And Courtney Yates needs to play again. I think that she's somebody that we need to see. I would argue she's one of the best personalities we've seen on any of those CBS shows. Courtney Yates is amazing.
Love her.
I
always say she's like the Brittany Haynes of Survivor. Like, I feel like she's like the relatable, kind of bitchy, like says what everyone's thinking, you know?
100%. And the difference is that Brittany Haynes, everyone always refers to Brittany Haynes and how great Brittany Haynes is.
Yeah.
And, Courtney, people forget about Courtney, which sucks.
I think a lot of people from China in general, I think Todd is one of the best winners in the history of the show, too. And I think he gets forgotten about all the time as well.
Oh, some great characters on that season as well. I mean, yeah. Todd, I mean, Amanda Kimmel, regardless yeah. of how you think about her, PG, yeah. we had, and, you know, Courtney Yates, Lunch Lady Denise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve Chicken Morris, who was about first. I mean, there's like Jean.
I weirdly don't remember Steve Chicken Morris. Maybe I
need to damn. A little bit damn. Better. You don't remember Chicken, hey? Okay, well, yeah. maybe I'll see if I can find his vote out on YouTube, his boot episode, and I'll send you the clip, Andy. Okay. It's pretty legendary. Okay, Andy, how are you doing for time? You got to go?
Maybe like 10 minutes or so?
10 minutes. Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's take some questions quickly here. So if you want to get a question in here quick, you can do so by tweeting us using the hashtag RHAP. And let's jump in to the first question here. Okay. Hey, Jordan and Andy, I'm a little worried about our boy, Steven. Now that Monica is gone, it seems like Steven is at the bottom of the Bayon Alliance and would be the next to go, especially with the Jeremy and Spencer relationship growing. Andy, what do you think about that? Do you think Steven could be in a little bit of hot water next week?
I don't think so. I think Steven's okay for the time being. I think Steven is smart enough to maneuver himself into like a position where he'll be okay. Even if he is on the bottom right now, I don't know if he'll stay there for long. So, but yet again, I just am obsessed with him. So like, this is like the optimist in me hoping that he sticks around, but I think that he will.
Okay. Yeah. I hope so too. I mean, it's really turned around for him. And do you think that maybe that the edit at the beginning of the season, Andy, was the producers just trying to mess with us a little bit and say, oh, haha, Steven's not going to do really so great. But then in reality, he kind of just goes off and could ultimately win the game. Could you see Steven winning at this point?
Yeah, I totally could.
Yeah, I hope he does. At first, I was very concerned, but
yeah.
now things are going well. Yeah. Okay, I'm also going to take some questions from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you want to know how to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. You can become a member of the Facebook group and get exclusive questions asked to me, like Renee did. And Renee sent this one to you, Andy. She says, Andy, who do you think will end up being the biggest rat floater of this Survivor season? Which, and she's saying in parentheses, I'm Andy's biggest fan, so this is a good thing.
Okay. The biggest, I mean, I'm trying to think of who has it in them. I feel like a Keith is never going to be a rat floater. Like, you know, like Joe. I feel like a Cass, a Stephen Fishback, a Sierra, like, I think they all could do it. Even like Kelly Wentworth. I feel like the fact that she's been like, I'm pushing Terry under the bus so hard, like, you know, like, she could do it.
Yeah, I like but those names. Yeah, those
it
are
also, it also, like, I mean, not to, I'm, it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back, and essentially I guess I am. It takes, like, a lot of finesse to be a rat floater. Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you really have to be, like, towing the line at all times, keeping all of your, like, ducks in a row, making sure you know what is going on everywhere. Because if the two wrong people talk to each other, you're screwed. And so it's like balancing 10 plates, like, on one stick in your hand, you know? And so it has the ability to come crashing down, but if you can do it right, it's very effective.
Yeah, I think that we need to come up with some new terminology. I think that the floater that Rachel Riley was referring to, we can just say that's a floater. Somebody like Kathy from BB12, who's just not playing the game. And then I think there's the rat floater, when you're doing it on purpose, and that's what you're doing, kind of just laying back. You don't necessarily have any allegiance to anyone but yourself, and you're trying to balance all these things. I think we need to make that a thing, Andy. So rat floater is the good floater, and floater is just referring to, our police officer Kathy's of the world. Sorry, Kathy. okay, this I've got another question here from Justin Feinberg, and he says, Andy, if any of the second chance castaways just happened to be wandering the streets of Munich on a cold February morning, which one would be most likely to get hit in the face by a train?
I mean, that's an interesting question. You know what? I'm gonna say Tasha for no reason whatsoever, because I don't know what to say. She's got that huge bow in her hair that could like restrict her vision.
She really does. Yes. No, Tasha. Okay. Tasha. You think Miss Foxy Tasha. So she won't see, and then she'll get hit in the face by a train, and then she'll become your new favorite, Andy. So is that why Tasha's not your favorite? She didn't get hit in the face by a train.
That is the only reason why Tasha is not my favorite, because she hasn't been hit in the face with a train. So.
Oh man. Okay. We got another question here from the great at Shaylin BB, and she says, guys, or Andy, whose gameplay has surprised you the most so far this season compared to what they did? And Kimmy Kappenberg, right?
Yeah. Kimmy. I'm so happy. It was such a welcome surprise. Like, cause like I said, Kimmy was like my number one. I wanted her back so badly. Cause like Australia was just like my season. Like that was like the season that I just fell in love with Survivor. And so I wanted anyone from that season back. And I was really worried that she would not be that great of a player. And I think that, like, and I mean, it's still early, but in Wednesday's episode, I thought she was pretty darn great.
I think that she was awesome. I think that this could be a trend, Andy. I liked it a lot. And the beauty of Kimmy's game is that we've seen now she's got some strategic acumen. She knows what's going on. And guess what? I still don't think anyone views her as a threat. Would you if you were out there? No.
No, probably not. Yeah.
I mean, I think to the other people outside of the Bayon tribe, I think that they are probably going to say, "Ooh, wow, they got rid of Monica. That was all Jeremy or Steven threw her under the bus." It wasn't that, guys. It was Kimmy Kappenberg. Monica Padilla just got Kappenberg. Sorry about that. Okay. Let's see. This is an interesting question. This comes from, probably going to butcher that. Oh, no, I think I got this. Ray Brandenburg. And Ray Brandenburg wants to know, Andy, why do you think Stephen Fishback is being portrayed largely as a doofus when we know he is adorable and awesome?
But is, like, I feel like he's being portrayed as a doofus, but also, like, as an adorable and awesome doofus. So is that, you know what I'm saying? They're not. Like,
yeah, you could say that.
Couldn't they go hand in hand? I feel like he's getting, like, an endearing edit. I feel like you're like, oh, you know, and, like, you kind of like him.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. I think
he's smarter than he's getting edited as, but I think that, like, other than that, I think his edit has not been that problematic.
Yeah, it's improved. I'll say that. At first, the first episode, I was like, I don't know about seeing Fishback. Okay, let's do one last question, Andy, before we get out of here today. Okay, let's go with this one from Alberto Cadota. And he says, as far as edit is concerned, which three people have the best chance for sitting in the final tribal council, Andy?
I mean, I feel like Spencer is getting such a hero edit. Like, he's getting a Cochran from Fans versus Favorites edit. So I'm going to say maybe Spencer if, like, he makes it. Cass, I think Cass is getting, like, such a redemption, I've changed my ways edit. When, like, how amazing would that be to have the two of them sitting against each other when they hate each other? That would
amazing,
be wonderful.
Amazing TV. Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going to say Stephen Fishback just because I love him.
Okay, so Stephen Fishback, Cass, and Spencer. That would be arguably the greatest final three of all time, and Andy.
I do think I'm slighting Wu a little bit. I think Wu has been impressive, like, relatively as well. I mean, obviously he's, like, not running anything, but I like the fact that he's been more proactive. He's been like, why didn't you tell me about the vote? Or why didn't you do this? Like, why am I, like, or when, like, Shireen came to him and she was like, will you vote with me? And he was like, fuck you. No, you haven't talked to me in 6 days. Like, I thought that was too, like, I liked that because that was like, I liked him taking the initiative, you know? And I mean, I remember in that moment, I was like, Shireen is not as great as she thinks she is if she has not had a conversation with Wu in like 6 days, you know?
Yeah, no, I absolutely. I think that's great from Wu, and I'm glad that he's got a bit of a backbone now. Because last time, right? I mean, there were so many times when he didn't know what was going on. But I think that in Kaguyan, once it got to the merge, he knew what was going on every time because Tony would just come to him right before and be like,
"Totally,
ooh, come over here. We gotta do this vote right now. We've got this new plan. We gotta go over here and we gotta vote out Cass." That's what, I don't know. He didn't vote Cass, but like whoever he was voting out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He couldn't get rid of Cass because she was just the thorn in his side. That's a guy I wish we would have seen this season, Tony. Yeah. Although, you know, he won, so he can't be part of Second Chances. But that's a dude I would love to see play again, especially with Cass.
He was so thrilling to watch. Man, was he fun to watch.
Tony Vlachos, man, he's great. I love that guy so much. And I really do hope we will see him on our TV screens sooner rather than later. Although, who knows when that will be. Andy Herron, thank you so much for joining me today.
Of course. It's been a pleasure. Yeah.
I really do appreciate you taking the time out. I wish we would have had a little bit more time, but we will definitely do this again sometime if you're up for it.
I will a lot more time next time for sure.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. That's my bad. I should have checked with you first. So we'll set that up. That will be awesome. And I'm really looking forward to that. Maybe talk some Big Brother or some off-season stuff. Yeah. I know you listened to the Big Brother second or not the season rankings podcast. Yes,
I did. Yeah.
All right. So there you go. What did you think about our rank of Big Brother 15? Were we okay?
You know what? I think, I mean, it's so weird for me to rank Big Brother 15 anywhere because I didn't watch it. But I mean, I did watch it. I didn't watch it as it was happening, you know, and I like lived it. But I think I would have put it, of course, I don't think it's like the best, but I think I would have put it a little bit higher, at least personally, because I like a good villain. And I feel like Big Brother 15 was just villain central. And so, you know, like I would take a cast of a bunch of bad guys over a bunch of good guys any day. Like I said, like I think Big Brother 16 is the worst season in the show's history because it was like all good guys, you know.
16's worse than 9.
Yeah, I think 16 was worse than 9.
Oh, wow, shots fired, Andy Harris.
16 sucked. It was so bad. And like I'm very good friends with Nicole and Hayden, you know, and like I'll tell them, I'm like, I love you guys, but like your season of like they tried to make Christine like the ultimate bad guy. And Christine is like totally a nice human being. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you're stretching for bad guys when Christine is like the bad guy. So
I love Christine Breck.
Me too. Me too. Yeah, love her.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, I totally agree with you there in the villain thing. But yeah, no, absolutely. But yeah, maybe we can do one of those list podcasts or something sometime. Let me know.
My thing is making lists, so I'm okay. All about
that. So let's do that sometime. Let's do a list thing and maybe let me know who you want. We'll talk about this online. We'll figure something out. But I would love to do one of those with you at some point.
Why don't we just rank the best Big Brother? Okay, my favorite Big Brother players of all time, the list goes Rennie, everyone else. So that'd be funny.
Dan, come on, Dan. What are you?
He's locked. You better not. Like, she's so perfect.
Rennie is amazing. No, Dan, what are you talking about? It's 10 o'clock in New Orleans right now. It's 9 o'clock in New York. It's 9 o'clock. Stop messing with me, Dan.
I don't think I've ever loved a player as much as I loved her season. And she seems in everyday life just amazing. Like, I love Dragon Fox on his season, and he's just a demon from hell in everyday life. And Rennie seems like cool and like fun and just as wacky in everyday life. And so like, it's very wonderful for me to see that because like the way that I loved her while she was on the show, just, oh my God.
She's great. I love Rennie Martin. We need to see her again someday. But Annie Heron, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate it. And quickly, before we go, guys, I'll say something to you, Andy. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, but my good friend, his name is, he calls himself the Ginger Ninja. He just said that he hasn't spoken to you yet post Big Brother, and he just wants to say hi to you. So I don't know if you've heard of this guy. Have you heard of the Ginger Ninja?
No, I have, actually. I am familiar.
Okay, you are familiar. So there you go. So the Ginger Ninja says hi. He just wanted to let you know that.
Jordan, it was so nice doing one of these without stupid Rob Sesternino. Like, isn't he just the worst? I hate that guy.
Yeah, Rob sucks. Oh my gosh. Oh, geez, Rob. Rob's terrible.
I'm so happy that Rob is so successful in the podcast world because I think that he is so good at what he does. And like, I'm not just kissing his ass because I'm like on the show right now. I genuinely love him.
No, absolutely. Rob is amazing. I mean, he's so great. And yeah, I mean, we could do a whole pod. I mean, maybe that's what our podcast should be, Andy, just talking about reasons why we love Rob Sesternino.
Our top 10 reasons why we love Rob Sesternino. Yeah.
That would be an amazing, that would be fun. I would like that.
I can do that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll figure something out. That would be pretty funny. But yes. Rob's great. Andy. Yeah. Really appreciate you coming on. Let's do this again. Come over onto the Happy Hour with me. I really do appreciate it. Hey guys, if you want to help the podcast out, you can do so by subscribing on iTunes. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's Happy Hour with an R at the front. You can also leave a review on the website as well, on iTunes as well. That really helps the podcast grow. One other thing you guys can do as well to help me out, I'm going to be going to Reality Rally next year. So I'm doing some Skype calls to raise money for Michelle's Place. They help people who are suffering through breast cancer and those sorts of things. So if you could do that and support me, definitely go to my Twitter, check that out. It's a tweet pinned to the top of the page to do that. I did 3 Skype calls last week. So shout out to Ryan Anthony, Wes Sutton, and Tyler Young for those Skype calls and donating. I really do appreciate it. I had a really great time talking to you guys. So if you want to support me that way, really means a lot. And that would be great. Andy, before we get out of here, hashtag for this episode, anything come to mind?
Kappenberg.
Kappenberg. Okay. So guys, tweet us, hashtag Kappenberg. Andy on Twitter is at Andy Hare. Make sure you follow him. You probably already are though. I am at Jordan Parhar. So follow us, tweet us, let us know what you thought about this show today. Use the hashtag Kappenberg. Okay, guys, thank you so much. We'll be back next week. I'll probably be back talking Survivor next week. Might throw an additional Big Brother podcast in there. Not 100% yet. I'm working on it. So I'll let you guys know. Just stay tuned on iTunes and on YouTube. My Twitter page, I'll keep you guys informed. Okay, so for Andy Heron, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Kappenberg. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.